Blog Talk Radio. Of the day of judgment in which we now live. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Allah, please show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou have bestowed thy favors on, and thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Sakir al-Din, surely Allah speaks the truth. As-salamu alaykum. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, Message of Concern. Main focus, second main focus is the psychological effect that it has, the image has on the minds of the world's children. We greet you. First of all, we bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is still the prophet. And we bear witness that Allah is only one creator, one Allah, the creator of all systems of knowledge, seen and unseen, and the creator of the heavens and the earth and all in between. We want to greet you with the world's greetings of As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, The Message of Concern, sponsored by Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad out of L.A., Los Angeles, and with hosts, Brother Abdullah, Rasul Akbar, and myself, Da'ia Akbar of Decatur, Georgia, and Brother Sujah Muhammad and Sister Quran Muhammad of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we have an Imam, Brother Imam Ibrahim Abdullah. And we also have a host that's with us when he can be, Brother Columbus, Brother Muhammad, rather, of Columbus, Georgia. And we want to let him know that we are still making dua for his wife and praying that she... I want to also specify that because she's supposed to have been going home and inshallah or going to another facility for rehabbing. And we pray Allah that she gets better, that our sister gets better. Okay, because she has the grandchildren and she has the children. You know, older adult children, but grandchildren that she's still, she and Brother Muhammad are still looking after and that are close to his, close to their hearts. So we make endure for the sister. Inshallah, she can get back strong again and continue working as God sees fit, as Allah sees fit. Okay, well, we want to welcome everyone to our blog talk radio show. And today, the emphasis is on a message of concern always, which is the main interest of a message of concern, removal of all images from worship that portrays divine. And the number two major concern is the psychological effect that this image has on the minds of the world's children. And we say that because we feel that Allah has obligated us and put that, task on us, especially with the females, to help to save our children, to raise our children in the right way according to the Quran and Allah's Sunnah. Okay, it's our daily guide, the Quran is. It's what we live our lives by, the Quran, the Holy Quran. And we have to learn ourselves our obligations, our do's and don'ts, and what we've been given permission to do, and things we have been prohibited to do. And being a true believer, this is the way we live. And this is the way we plan to live, plan to continue to live. Inshallah, inshallah. This is with the strength and the endurance, patience, prayer, and perseverance that we need to help us with that, because we know without him, nothing is possible. But the only thing he has to do is say be, and it is. And we do intend to get through this. We do intend to get through this. It looks like they're dumping everything on us with this COVID and with the misleading of our children and the lying to our children, and just leaves them baffled. It just leaves them like, what do I do next? Which one do I believe, you know? So if we help teach them, I say we, because it's on all of us, especially females. I help with yours, you help with mine, and we all help each other to teach our children the truth, because they can't be misled like we were, like a lot of us were, you know, until we saw the light, till our beloved Imam W. Dean Muhammad came on the scene and showed us the light, gave us more light, his father as well. And we can't forget our foundation, Imam Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him. And we cannot forget our foundation. So we have to mention him as well. But we know that the true El-Islam was taught to us. And the light really got brighter for us when our beloved leader and teacher, W.D. Muhammad, came on the scene. Okay, I would like to read to you, which we are talking about the message of concern. I'd like to read to you from Brother Henry's book, a little of it in the back, which is from the King James Version, and then some from the Quran, which is about two of the short surahs, which proves that what we are saying to you can be backed up by the Holy Bible, which a lot of us study from and lead our lives by, and by the Holy Quran, which a lot of us study from and live our lives by. This book is called, the title, What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health, by Henry S. Muhammad. And if you would like to receive one of these books, just get our email address or telephone number, and we will be obligated to send one book to you, you know, just one, and the others after that will have to pay just a reasonable price, not expensive at all. As a matter of fact, you may even get a discount from it, according to how many. Okay, let me turn this page. We're going to first start from the Holy Bible. I'm moving a little slow, so just got back in town, and I'm trying to unwind myself from that R&R and get myself back active. You know, when you're on the rest and relaxation, you know, your whole body, like, not shut down, but it relaxes and calms down and everything, and then when you have to be up and at it again, all of a sudden, then, you know, you have to start all over and get yourself back in tune, like exercise. Okay, I'm going to read from the Holy Bible, King James Version, in the back of Brother Henry's book, and I want you to, if you will, pay special attention to the wording of these two chapters and their verses. And this is proving that the graven image is that message of concern. And why is it message of concern? Okay, because so many people they read the book, the Holy Bible, even the Quran, and they read the words, but do they know the meaning of the words that they're reading? Or do they hold those words to be proof or evidence, you know, that Allah, there's only one Allah, there's only one God, no images, nothing, he needs nothing to represent him, you know, there are no statues, no crosses, and all these other little figures they made, well, supposedly to be indications of symbols of worship for God, you know, for Allah. And he doesn't like that. He doesn't know this. That's a no-no. Okay, and number one, I'll start with Exodus. Pay attention to the wordings, because you find that they almost seem to be verbatim or the same, just rearranged maybe in that particular chapter, you know, compared to the other chapter. But all of them are speaking on the graven image. This is so close. It's Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. I'll read it again. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now, the graven image is that message of concern. Okay, now I have another chapter. That's Exodus that I just read, the chapter and the verse. And then there's another chapter here from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8. And it reads, excuse me. All this time I'm not hearing anything. Oh, my. I apologize. I've read all that. And if you had yours on, you could have told me you heard it. Oh, it went out on me. I apologize. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And a special guest, please forgive me. I don't recall this happening. Maybe once since I've been on the line, been on air, on Blog Talk Radio Show. Maybe once. But this is really, and I didn't even get a call from anyone either saying that we don't hear anything. But anyway, oh my. Didn't call me either. Didn't send me a text. He must have went right off the air. Oh, because I was really scheduled for tomorrow since I was out of town. But we called him back because I had signed in and wanted to get on with the show. But then I saw where they had me scheduled for tomorrow. And I called him and asked him, and he said he was intending to do it for today. He just got the dates mixed up. He got the 29th mixed up for the 28th. And so he put me on, and it was like a rush for me to get on because I felt I was behind. But and now I'm, oh, goodness, please forgive me, radio audience, the Blog Talk radio audience, please forgive me. I don't know how much you heard, but best is yet to come, so be patient with me, please. Oh, there's Brother Eileen. I'm sorry, I was, like I said, I was not unmuted, and this is why nobody heard anything, and I was just talking away. I've covered a lot of stuff. Oh, my. Hope I don't get jumped on about that. Okay, I've read out of Brother Henry's book. Could you bring me a bottle of water, please? I read out of Brother Henry's book about the images, the graven image, and I told you a story about Brother Henry's book about the courtesy from Library of Congress. Could you bring me some water, please? Okay, and we did the prayer. We recognized the sick. Brother Muhammad's wife, and we call the roll of all the staff and the sponsor. We did that, and we read from Brother Henry's book. Okay, from the Holy Quran, recited from the Holy Quran, and from the King James Version of the Bible. Now, we're going to pick something out of the Muslim Journal. Well, as we did know, first of all, I want to point out, you know, it's in the news where the COVID, this strain that's coming out now is worse than the others, or is much stronger than the others. So we have to take precautionary measures. Also, we have heard about the injections that the children are still supposed to be given from 5 years old to 11 years old. Also, of the government employees who they have to take, who has to take the injection in order to keep their jobs. And that's what it says. And sometimes we can speak our own opinion from what we feel coming from the heart. We think this is a scare, you know, so that they will do it. You know, because most of the government personnel are considered essential personnel. So I don't understand how they can terminate them from their jobs, the government jobs, if they don't take the shots. Okay. Because they can't take the swab from the nostrils. And it'll come back negative or positive as well. So then, to me, it's not necessary for the shots. You can take something as simple as a nasal swab. I don't feel it's necessary to take an injection. And we are having so many negative complaints about the after effects of these injections that are being given. And then they say, even though you might have took the injection, it's not like written in stone that you won't get the virus just because you take the shots. Or if you've had the virus before and then you've gotten better and then you've been given the shot, there's no guarantee that you won't have side effects and that the virus won't come back. So all of these contraindications and negatives and just going against your own words and not sure, a lot of people not sure themselves, the ones that's giving it, I say. But I say we follow God's word. We follow Allah's plan and we'll be all right. We'll be all right, alhamdulillah. That's our faith that we have in Allah. Okay, and if you're on the line and you want to contribute something to the conversation or you want to interject at any time and mention something or participate, just push 1 on your receiver and you will be brought into the queue. Okay, and you will be heard. And please do that. Please don't forget to do that. Okay, she's not a guest, but she's a person that I've known a long time from New Jersey. And she's supposed to come on tonight, not as a guest speaker, but she will be participating in the conversations and will be giving input. And she said maybe this will be her first time. She moved here not too long ago, and she wants to, what's this? I don't know. But she wants to, what is this? Excuse me. My phone is ringing. And it should. Okay, well, we'll get back to this. Anybody, if you can't hear me out there on this phone, because we know they're playing tricks on our phones, the iPhones as well as the landline phones. So if you can't hear me at any time, please push the 1, you know, in your on your phone receiver. And I will be blessed to know if you're pushing the 1 for participation in the discussions, or if you're pushing 1 to let me know that you're not hearing me. Please, I appreciate it. Okay. I would like to read this from the Muslim Journal. There's Brother Muhammad. Okay. I'd like to read this from the Muslim Journal about what they're saying about the youth. And it's the latest edition didn't come last week, didn't come this past week. So on Thursday or Wednesday last week. So I'm reading this from the last one that we got, November the 12th. Oh, this is not the one I bought. Let me read this. This is good, important information. Anyway, the need for young Muslims to come together, and I'm sure we've read about that. already. And it is from Atlanta, Georgia. Yes, we did read some of that. It's from Atlanta, Georgia. The youth are really doing things in Atlanta, Georgia. They have We Buy Black and the little brothers and their wives that are in with this We Buy Black. They just had a reunion, a Sister Clara Muhammad reunion about 2 weeks ago. And they are all doing well, alhamdulillah, and very successful in their businesses. And it's like nonstop here, like nonstop. They're really getting it together, even though sometimes they seem like they want to mix themselves with the some of the trends of the world out there. But then they still believe in Allah because they speak and they let you know so, you know, and they carry themselves that way, and you believe that they feel this way truly mentally, even though they may put on little clothing that's in college and stuff like that and keep in trend, but don't cover their heads or something like that. Sometimes some of them, not all of them, but some of them. They have dreadlocks coming down their backs, too, as well. But to me, they're all beautiful because they're trying. They're trying. And with them, you know, they're trying to say, don't let clothing of certain types keep us apart. You know what I'm saying? They know to clothe themselves completely. They know not to show their body parts and all this sort of thing. They know not to do that. And other people recognize them as knowing they don't do those types of things. So, if some of them blast you out, if you say something wrong, say something wrong for them of their or their own, you know, like they have that saying, you know, if you have to say, if you mess with mine or some of mine, you can do something about it. So they say something like that. So we're going to have to scrap. You know what they're saying out there. But that's what they mean. Let's do something about it. I want to read some of this because it's kind of slim. Anyway, first of all, let me just drop this right here because it's kind of lengthy. And I read it myself, well, lengthy to me, but and I started reading some of the last time, but it is still lengthy. I want to just mention some of the things that we have to pay attention to due to what the so-called people call the holidays, or we say the recognized holidays, we put it that way, with our children going to school, you know, and they want to participate, you know, and we have to let them know that it's not necessary for them to participate. Yes, there are other children that do participate, and I'll tell you how they participate in a minute, but the other children that do participate, they have reasons behind those because maybe their parents haven't taught them any different, you know, maybe they haven't been taught any different way of, like, not recognizing the 25th of December as Christmas, and not recognizing Easter and all that, but I'm talking about Christmas since it's coming up. It's the one at hand right now, and the parents are going in debt from this year to next year. Some of them might even still owe or just paying up for last year and then getting back in debt again, doing to please their children, their friends, their family members, because this is one of the days that's recognized for them as a holiday where they exchange gifts. You know, the first Noel and all that, and after Christmas, Noel is done. But this is the way they feel. You know, we respect everybody's feeling, everybody's, I would even say, beliefs, because, you know, Allah blesses whom He pleases and when He pleases, and only Allah makes Muslims, you know. So, you know, the only thing we can do, the best we can do, is to make sure that we tell them the truth. And once we tell them the truth, then we're no longer responsible for what they do, because we can take them and lead them by the hand. You know, some people, some occasions, some things, yes, we can lead them by the hand if we feel we want to. But then there are other people that you tell them the same thing, and they show no interest and no indication that they would really like to learn and different. Want to stay the same, don't want to change, you know. And like they say, it's mind over matter. If you don't mind, it just doesn't matter. You know, if you don't mind, it doesn't matter to you. But first of all, we have to let the children know they don't build houses anymore with chimneys. So there's no more Santa, no Santa Claus that can come down the chimney and leave the reindeers and the sled on top of the house, number one. Number two, Santa Claus is not somebody that goes away and come back once a year. That's when it's time to give gifts. They might have given Mama and Daddy that name to excite the child. But now time is up for that. You know, you can buy gifts any time of the year. You can decorate the, you can wrap them with something and just put them up, put them somewhere, hide them somewhere, then bring them out on a day-to-day that you want to bring them out. Like if they've done something good in school, done something good around the house, you know, to help Mama or Daddy, and then you give them a gift to show that, that their help is appreciated, you know. So, and they have respect for the parents or for the elderly or for a person, neighbor that's nice to them in the right way. Nice, you know. So that's just another way you can give gifts at any time. It doesn't have to be in a special day, maybe birthday, you know, or, wedding anniversary or graduation, something like that, you know. They can get gifts at any time. And you don't have to just go in debt and be paying all these this money back and all paying up all these debts, you know, in order to satisfy nobody, to satisfy anybody, because they can come at any time. We have to let our children know they cannot participate in school activities that contributed to the Christmas holidays. You know, we don't do plays. They don't do plays in school, like dramatizing what Santa Claus does and what the elves do and what Miss Santa Claus might do and what they do in the elves' workshops and all that kind of stuff, and do little skits and little plays that they'll probably remember for the rest of their lives if they participated in it. But we don't want them. We don't want our children to remember all that sort of thing. You know, it's not necessary for them to remember that. You know, it's not worthwhile for them to remember that. Remembering it, yes, is that, it's not enough. It should not be considered a special day, because in the first place, nobody says it's Jesus' birthday, and then they don't even know who Jesus is. He's that image, you know, that statue. So you have to go back and get down to the bottom of the real thing to prove to these children what's what, you know, just what's what, and tell them the truth so they won't be brought up like a lot of us were, believing in lies and getting confused when some one person might tell us the truth, and then we go back asking our parents questions, and they're going to want to know where you get that from, you know, why you ask me these questions like this, and then you try to tell them, they'd be ready to jump on the person. They tried to explain it to the child, tried to explain the truth to the child. You know, and they figured only the child would help. It would only help the child, rather, and it would help them to know the truth. You know how we say, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, so they have to know. It's time up. It's a new world, a new day, and we are a new people. So we have to get a grip on ourselves and just know this. I'm going to stop right there and recognize the hands. Since then, it's something new. They're recognizing the hands now since the question mark won't show on anybody, by anybody's telephone number who wants to speak. You know, maybe it's the hand now. When you push a 1, maybe the hand comes up on my screen instead of a question. Okay, and that hand just went down. Hand just came back up on 2 others. Okay, let me push on here and see what these hands are going to do. We're going to start with Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. Okay.
Yeah, Assalamu alaikum. This phone might miss up for a minute. Assalamu alaikum to all of you in the cube there.
How's your wife doing, Brother Muhammad?
Yeah, she's moving right along. Still, well, they're supposed to be taking, maybe inshallah, in the next couple of days, they'll be taking the trick out of her neck and plugging it if she continues to stay not agitated and not pull it out or something like that, you know, because she's still, you know, recovering from being sedated so long, you know. So she's just, sometimes she's disorientated about what irritates her, you know. So they just trying to keep her calm so they could get they already got her off the ventilator. And I think she got one more day to go without being on the ventilator. And then they know she's breathing all right. Then they're going to go here on and plug the trach that's in her throat. And then you'll start working on. But she's still very, 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 very weak. And you have to call her 2 or 3 times, and she'll be looking at you. She can hear you, but it's taking her that long to, I guess, formulate words and responses back to you, you know. But she'll be on front with it. You know, and yesterday we asked her everything, whose name, whose grandchildren, what grandchildren, and she answered all the questions right, but we had to really coach her to think and get the thoughts down and say what she's saying. So they basically doing the same thing, too. So they're trying to get her off the sedation and get it plugged, then they'll start on their physical therapy, inshallah.
Good.
You know. So she recognized everything, but she still, like I said, so weak and everything. Yes. I don't want to get too excited because I know anything can happen, you know.
That's right.
And relapses and stuff. So I'm just trying to keep up my du'as and ask everybody else to keep up their du'as for her until Allah give us a clear sign that He's going to give her more time to praise Him and worship Him and also us, too, you know, like He's doing us. You know, He's helping us deal with these concerns, you know, on all levels, you know, that we know that through diet or whatever, you know, we are recovering ourselves from this overdose of imagery that Shaitan has been putting on the world for thousands of years, and we are the new generation of people who's catching it and our children, and we're trying to protect our children as best we can from the psychological effects that we still are trying to maintain, but we haven't yet learned that if we concentrate on what Allah says and just ignore what we already been contaminated with, you know, ignore it unless it's in a defensive mode, you know, unless we're defending ourselves from racism attacking us, you know, we should continue to keep the educational process out in public on doing dawah. But we got to also, our children definitely need this dawah. You know, we have to give them a firm perimeter to grow up in, you know, and by one thing, explain to them, say, now you go to school, honey, use an example, and you see there's all kinds, not only is there different colors of skin of the people, there's also different features of people, you know, and you can see the way they dress and the way that they act, that you can tell they're not all from one culture, but we're all from one God, you know. And the people you see that act different than the way we are should make you feel comfortable with being who you are. You are a Muslim. Here's what a Muslim is. We have to repeat that, especially through them years, like we were saying last week, all the way up until they at least get 14 or 15 years old, where they start to begin to accept their identity of themselves. And they have learned over the last 13, 14 years from good parental guidance, you know, learning the different type of people in the world. See, you know, we have to teach people on the schemes of the Caucasian race that Shaitan has been using most more than any other race in history, but he's been using all of us. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But he's been using them as his number one instrument to keep you from fear focusing on the other people. You know, who are doing the same thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, this racism in religion or people's ways of life or what they worship, you know, Shaitan is using these Caucasians to contaminate all of it. That's why they don't mind coming up underneath the umbrella of Christianity, you know, or other ways of life, which their own prophet has told them that is not the right way. We have to explain exactly right what you, otherwise, again, it boils down to, you have to spend time with our children. Until we do that, that's the only sacrifice we have to make right now. Because most of
mm-hmm.
us now, Allah has blessed us to have some kind of mean of income to where we both shouldn't have to out be working until the kids get to that point to where they can be trusted at home, they have learned themselves, they know who they are about. But until then, we have to make that sacrifice and let the mother stay at home as much as possible as she can. And take our whooping in, if we're going to call it that, whooping in, you know. But we have been blessed by Allah also now to how to provide income for our own self. We learned that from the experience with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, how to take care of ourselves without depending upon nobody else.
Right.
That was a preparation. That was a preparation for us to accept Allah and Allah alone. But what happened when they thought that Al-Islam was like the Muslims that were already over here, and they seen them compromising to get along with the white man, using that terminology, marrying his women, taking on his lifestyle, dropping their culture, their dress, and things like that. When they see them, you know, when we saw it, we thought we could drop our guards and put Al-Islam on the back burner
mm-hmm.
when Imam Muhammad come on board, you know. And we knowingly and unknowingly, what we're doing right now, we are resisting to be and live the life of a Muslim right here in America. Like, we don't have no freedom.
Right.
We got more freedom than anybody in this country, but we're acting like we are the most enslaved. That's why Allah says the believers are like in a prison. You know, if they don't establish their way of life, it's just like being a prisoner. We're in the prison of anybody's world in America.
Mm.
You know, we under so many influences other than the white man's images, the images that he done put in other people and wanting to be like him. You know, even though they have different features, different skin, everything like that. So he, Shaitan, is making an image of himself in being. And it don't make no difference what type of person. We have to educate our children in that. Them first 7-8 years are very important, that if our wives need to understand that, they need to stay home. I mean, and we just stay. That's why one of the things you learn in Al-Islam, whoever you marry, you stay within their best and their income. Unless
mm-hmm.
you already got income when you meet a brother. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know. But that brother still has to care of you, even though you make more money than I do, we have to live within my income, and whatever you want to do is just sonic.
Right.
You know, you want to help me, alhamdulillah, if you want to buy the kids something, but you cannot, and I will not, as the imam, let you spoil the children with a lifestyle over and above what I make.
That's right.
Because it's going to hurt them. It's going to
mm-hmm.
automatically make them start choosing between me and you. They have let Shaitan in the house. You know,
yeah.
See, and so there's so much that our children can learn if they're home with their ummi, with their mother. And their mother is able to spend all day long with them. So they'll get used to and learn the mother's characteristics and how she acts in the house. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, that way a lot of our women wouldn't be feel like they push into being independent or being pushed into not having a peaceful, not having their own Al-Islam.
Right.
You know, our women want their Al-Islam too, especially to share with her children, her babies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's something that we have to, from studying the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad and learning what is halal and what is haram, learning Muslim
right.
manners, reading more of the seerah, you know, from of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we'll learn how it's important that the mother be at home for those
right.
first 6 or 7 years anyway. And establishing that child, talking to that child's whole spirit, so that the spirit will open up from listening to you, Allah will let the angels present themselves to the child. You might come in the room sometime and you hear your child laughing. You say, and then there's little things that you say to a child when they're 3 years old. They're like, you come in the room and child, who are you talking to, the angels? You start giving them the language. And she'll laugh. You really, but you know she was talking to something. You know?
Right.
And we thank Allah that he has blessed us to believe in the unseen.
That's true.
And we know that our children are being sent messages by Allah and by Shaitan. But we know when we see them happy about something, when they're on their own or when they're playing by themselves and you see them over in the corner having a ball, we know that they're playing with the angel and we need to tell them that. So what I'm saying, again, it's very important that we let our children know that there's nothing wrong with being different. And when you show them all the different faces and different eye shapes and skin colors and whatever, and say, see, everybody's different. So just be yourself.
Right.
Now, as they get older, you let them know that you'll be able to know the difference between a Muslim character. Now, baby, remember, let's say when you was 5 years old, I showed you all these different type of people. Now, all these different type of people are Muslim now. See how we all now look the same? We all had the same characteristics. We all had the same type of manners and respect for each other. Well, you still see the same type of people in that other world are killing each other, don't like each other. There's a difference between a person who embraces God's guidance and a person who has no guidance or a person who is under the guidance of Satan. Because, again, we're supposed to teach our children about Satan. How can they know when evil thoughts come? They got to know where them evil thoughts are coming from. Or those thoughts are coming from that make them angry at you and dislike you. Oh, mommy, I don't like you. You have to get something when you get 4 or 5 years old. You take something from them, they'll tell you. Where do you get that from? That's what we ask them, though. Where do you get that from, honey? Is Satan talking to your body? And the child will be able to recognize when you say the word Satan, they know what you're talking about.
Right.
This is very important because our women, you have by Allah's permission, on 3 occasions, the mother, he is letting you know, he's giving you everything you need to establish that Islamic environment in the home while your husband is out being the maintainer and the protector.
Right.
Unless you already got some income like Khadija did. You know, Khadija didn't try to expedite the Prophet's way of how to obey Allah. She let him feel his own way, and if he wanted help and he asked for it, she would give it to him. But she wasn't using her money and her things to make him take any shortcuts in his worship to Allah, his service to Allah. You know? So I'm saying when we really slow down for a minute and quit talking so much about the past and the past life that has been forced upon us and start to really look at what the Honorable Muhammad used to say when Allah first started talking to a lot of preparing you for the Muslim world. He didn't say I was preparing you for the Christian world. Allah could have easily said that and gave the Honorable Elijah Muhammad the wisdom to say that. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, no, I'm preparing you for the world to be of the people who serve God, the one God, and who serves the best human ever being that's ever been created by God, Prophet Muhammad. And these other people, he could have easily said Christianity or Hinduism or whatever like that. And we have to reinforce it in these educational processes of our children coming up. See, right now, all they see is a bunch of split personalities. They see that the electric company can call and mama's face change. The gas company can call and mama's face change. You know, we talk about going to the grocery store and the face change. They see so many influences come out of us, you know, that doesn't match peace, doesn't match the word peace or loving.
Mm-hmm.
They know they know we love them, but they see too many images of what love is.
Mm-hmm.
On the outside as well as the inside.
Yes.
You know, but if a mother is home with her child, breastfeeding that child and feeding that child and taking naps with that child and telling that child all about them 7 years are very important. That child should hear nothing but Quran, Allah, Muhammad, Quran, Allah, Muhammad, Hadi, going that is the child is growing. You know, to where that's their world. They have their environment now. You know, they reading from at least maybe 4 years old. They learn how to read the Quran during Ramadan, and not when Ramadan is going on. They actually live Ramadan, not practice it like we did. They will live it. They'll be ready to fast all day. Like, Mama, we going to fast? Father, we going to fast? And they'll be so excited when Iftar come around. Because they're living it, whereas where we are still learning about it and struggling with it and dealing with the responsibility of doing this and that. But see, but you don't have that problem if the husband and the wife understand that the former of you or their child is more important than anything, you know. And the child's whole perimeter should be home, masjid, home, Eid, Ramadan. That's all they need to know the first 5, 6, 7 years on this earth, you know, because they're going to see the outside world, and that gives you a chance to explain to them, you know. And they're going to like the Islamic way of life when they see all the kids who are at school behavior or being dirty or not being clean or being vulgar, you know. They'll see and appreciate. They can't wait to get back home. Until we get to the point to where we have enough sense. By then, they establish their own schools where they have, now they have home, school, masjid. You know, home, school, masjid, their own stores. Where they walk in there, Muslims are running the store. Muslims are in the store, you know. And believe me, after 7, 8 years with a life like that, our children are way beyond loving to who they are. I'm a Muslim. They'll tell you in a minute. And we play those little songs like Wilmo Sadiq said, you know, to our children. I'm a little Muslim boy. I'm a little Muslim girl. When we give them the love from everything, like Allah tells us, Allah said, everything y'all do is for is supposed to be worship. Now, we need to set back some time and ask ourselves, when are we dividing up worship with fornication, adultery, by when we engage in other people and let them compromise us? In the, even talking about the holidays, even talking about some of the things that are happening to us. Can you imagine our Muslim world has been propagating us to using the tragedy and the suffering of others, like our ancestors, to make us go along with celebrating a holiday called Juneteenth because it celebrates what? You're not free till you're Muslim. We have to learn how to let people understand you are not free until you turn to God. You might have some freedom, but it's a false freedom. It's a freedom that Satan has given you. It's a false worship. It's a false lifestyle. You're not free because you're not serving God. When you serve God, then you are a free human being. Any other time, you are some other type of human being who is looking for freedom, you know. How can you be free if you go out and work all day long and come home and want to drink, you know, or you come home, you know, and want to have abnormal activities with your wife, when you come home and want to eat pork, you know, when you come home. There's so many things that when we ask Allah to guard our tongues and give our tongues the wisdom and the hikmah to talk to people in their own language when they question us, you know, when they question or when they propagate us. Just like right now, they had a guy come out on the news today. He done wrote a book on his time when he was a prisoner with ISIS. The goal is to make it seem like Muslims are all like ISIS. Well, he done wrote him a book now. They're going to buy that up. They're going to buy that up.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
The book is called Being in Prison with ISIS. And he's going to talk all about how they just kidnapped and cut people's heads off and beat him and torture him, appealing to the Christian community to hate out Islam.
You know,
and the Muslims are not saying nothing like they did when Rushdie wrote his little article against al-Islam and they put a $5 million bond on his head. But they let this Caucasian come back and perpetrate that image, a bad image of us. They're still practicing imagery. Now, they're trying to flip the script on us since we've been putting pressure on them about imagery and racism and outside. Now, they're trying to put it on the Muslims because they think they got us indebted on all type of levels. you know, I just left a program before I came over to where you are today, you know, because I was intended to come anyway. But they're talking about how much this and that, but they don't realize that Shaitan is sucking them so far into debt and begging for funds and grants and stuff like that, that we don't realize that we're compromising our way of life. You're not doing it for Al-Islam. What good is it to me if I get $5 million grant and I can't spend none of it to help Muslims be Muslims?
Mm-hmm.
I'm spending all that money to be around drug addicts, alcoholics, thieves and murderers who might be got out of jail and released in my program. You fit in your, you know, just that's why Imam Muhammad, example, that's why Imam Muhammad told the chaplains to get out of the prisons. He said, don't make a livelihood on the misery of people who are captive, you know, and people who are incarcerated for being out of their mind, paraphrasing. These are the things that we got to protect our children from by keeping them in a natural environment with their mother, and she raised them with love, peace, and understanding so that when they go out in the world, because we don't have our schools or we don't have our stores, they will be alert,
mm-hmm.
alert. Even the ones who might have the devil in them, use that terminology,
mm-hmm.
they will still see that it ain't too cool, especially like we all of us experience that. We've seen how our grandchildren and our children, a lot of them are in jail. You go to jail now, and there's just as many people in jail with name Muhammad and Hassan and Yusuf, you know. So that goes to show you there's no home environment, which Allah says is the first thing that makes a Muslim other than a Muslim. We just let them walk in of our houses, back door, front door, and they climb through the window, influencing our children and ourselves. That money that has come through makruh or bidah or having business dealing with homosexuals, you know, can you imagine just because of some money, a Muslim might go into business with a homosexual in what he calls a halal business, but it ain't halal. But by the fact you want some money so bad that you will go in and have all this. This is my partner. This is my associate. And they looking at a homosexual sitting there. You know. What happened to your education when you was a child? You've been a Muslim all your life, and you grow up and do this.
Mm.
You have relationships with people who you know for a few dollars. What did Allah tell us? Don't sell your faith for a miserable price. We're doing it now. It is scandalous what we are doing for something that is already off. We pay taxes like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We have a right to ask for grant money and things to establish the Islamic life. Why are we getting $50 million grants and everything like that? And all we are doing is reestablishing the Christian way of life in America, knowing it's corrupt and perverted. And a damn shame of what it does to the human being. You know, how many people have come to America? How many of them have migrated here to establish Al-Islam? Very few.
Right.
Everybody who comes here to America comes to this hellhole for the benefit of the fire. They know they're playing with fire. They come over here to get in the fire. They ain't come over here. I'm talking about Muslims. They're coming in America in droves, and none of them are even saying. That's why they duck up. That's why they ducked the community of Imam Warf D. Muhammad. Because right now, we are still holding on to the rope of Allah and voodoo. We still believe in Ikhlas. You know, we still have not reached rock bottom to where we compromise our faith. This is the type of education we got to give our children. We
mm-hmm.
have to make them understand what we are learning to understand. Because we can't have no understanding. We think that Allah ain't God. That's why a lot of us, when our mates or somebody died, we're in a state of shock. But we didn't really believe. You know, we really didn't believe. We thought we were going to live forever, like Allah tells us.
Mm.
He said,
yeah.
But only by my permission. Only by my permission. So these children are very important, I'm telling you. If we don't get our wives or work or make it easy for our wives who have professions and everything like that, you know, to know that, hey, if you could just maybe put off your profession and live within my income long enough to raise your children, while I maintain and protect our situation, because we know we already, you know, you're a doctor. So,
right.
You know, whenever you go back to your profession, you're going to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
But don't try to do them both.
Right.
Your children's life is at stake right here. Just cause you a lawyer. You know, I appreciate what you can do for us, but what you're doing, you're creating an environment that is a man of the house I don't control.
Mm.
You know, and my children are looking at you. You are the doorway to the doom. You're buying them bicycles. You're buying them phones. You're buying them American Western clothing. You know, you're making them look and act like the enemy of al-Islam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the enemy of people of color, if they still on that level of influence on the shaitan. You know, we had to teach them what Allah say. And then we had to also remember when we tell them, honey, the reason why it's so important that you be yourself, because this Quran that you read and I read you, this is the last time Almighty God Allah is going to tell the human family the right way. And we don't know when he's going to end it. He has already warned us, do not be caught in a state of un-Islam when the day comes. Don't be caught. But still, look at our children. If it happened right now, look at our children. What kind of children? Look, can you imagine the kids in Sodom and Gomorrah? The kids when was left behind when Musa had to leave Egypt. When Noah had to leave his own son behind. Look at those people who knew the truth, but were still not letting the imagery of what Satan was going in their world during their time distract them from realizing the greatness of Almighty God Allah. Their creator. How can somebody tell an intelligent person this is your creator and you take him so lightly? Like Allah tells us. You know, ungrateful, he says. You think about that. Allah tell, he's not talking on numbers. He's telling the unbelievers. So when we tell our children about teaching them about what's grateful and what's ungrateful, they learn manners, what we call manners. That's manners.
Mm-hmm.
When we teach them Muslim manners, you know, Muslim modesty, you know, Muslim respect. All this is very important that our children learn this when they before they get 7 or 8 years old. You know, when they're dealing full fledged after a couple of years in elementary school and everything, they're gonna be start under the they're gonna be made mockery of by the children of the world, you know. And then especially when we start teaching our children about dawah, when we start explaining to them how very important that you go to school clean, honey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to school, I've already worked it out with the teacher. I know you haven't really learned your prayer all the way, but I've asked the teacher to let you at least have a moment of silence in a private place, you know, while you're still learning prayer your first year. Now, I'm telling you what I've done with my children. I'm not telling you something that didn't happen or talking. You know, my kids, when they was in the third, fourth grade, especially my grandchildren, they had a place in the school to pray at. You know, here in Georgia. In Georgia in 19, way back. My kids were in elementary school. I changed the law in Georgia so that there would be a separate meal. There would be a halal meal for Muslim children. Muslim children had a right to wear their scarf, and they gave a place for our children to pray at. Right here in Hinesville, Georgia. You know, they gave them a room to pray. My children always prayed at school from the time they've been in at least the third or fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm saying it's already been done for us. You know, and just like I said, these grants and things, going to back to other stuff right quick, I was listening to our brothers going chasing after all these grants and things wanting to open up drug pill centers and things like that, you know, thinking that that gives them a legitimate excuse for getting involved in a world and to take them away from theirs. You know, look how some of our leaders who have spent working inside the prison, look how they look at the human being. They don't realize it. They have a cold reality from working with men and women who have been in prison 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a certain amount of discipline you have to have in order to work with them. That denies you from being a Muslim, your Muslim sensitivity.
Yeah.
You know, your Muslim outlook, because you unknowingly are doing it because it's in your nature to help your fellow human being. But it's also in your nature to think that we need money. We think we don't have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But until a long time ago, Muslims in America was ranking in, I think it was in the 14th or something like that, especially along with our brothers and sisters of the same nationality. We had the 14th largest income in the world. The ex-slave in America.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we got 48 million ex-slave family members in America. And a good third of them, or maybe a third of them, have jobs that pay over $150,000 a year. They've been making that type of money for years. You know, doctors, lawyers, car dealerships, store owners, you know. But see, it's all in the world that if we come and join them in those ventures, we are communicating my crew income. And we know it only leads to haram. You know, we're indebted to the society. That's the way America has always done. When people come over here, they get them so far in debt, that's what they call the American way. Capitalism, we keep forgetting what the American way means. Capitalism, how to take people and get them in debt and make them your slaves and never let them get out of debt.
Wow.
You know, so we think all this grant money and everything comes without a scheme of the shaitan with it. They have you helping their people, their slaves,
yeah,
making you spend 8, 9 hours a day, all day long with dope addicts, wine heads, people who are homeless. And they all need help, but they need Islamic help. They need to see that it's a Muslim helping them, not a Muslim who's running an establishment where every time they come in there, it seems like either a person of our own nationality is not Muslim, is telling you what to do. Or it's a Caucasian in charge of the whole program telling the Muslim what to do. And all they see you is an administrative slave, even though you're making good money. But they know that you're not the help that they're looking for. They know you're not from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, everything that we are doing right now, if we're not trying to establish halal, we are reinforcing our slave enslavement to white America because of how you look at it. You know, that's what you're doing. You know, because we don't have our own community. Now, if we had our own community, it'd be a different story. And we'll find out we have a lot more access to a lot of stuff that we need because all we want is like a law says. We tell the United States government, all I want is my fair share. We give the United States of America from amongst these maybe 18 million Muslims in America, we tell the United States government, do you know how much taxes we are paying? State taxes, federal taxes. And then you going to tell me that if you give me some grant money, I can't spend that money on bettering our community? And what I mean by our community, I mean, but no, you were talking about, no, if I give you this money, you got to have a drug care center or a rehab center. You got to have some kind of way where the door is open to people who hate you. For no other reason other than the fact that you believe. Man, I got to go down there, man, and get my medicine. I got to go down there and get my medicine down. And them Muslims, every time I go, I can't stand them, man. You know, they think they're better than us, you know, because you ain't a drug addict. you know. I'm trying to tell you, this, like Imam Muhammad said, you cannot beat this devil alone. You had to have Allah, his messenger, and unity amongst ourselves. Stay in our own reality. That's the best thing when you do it. What's that old saying we used to say before we came Muslim? Man, the best thing I do for anybody, man, is get myself together. Then let's get ourselves together. We're Muslims. We don't need nobody to be who we are because we got no control over it. That's the wisdom of Allah. When he told us, he said, I'm the only one make Muslims. Well, y'all ain't going to have no excuse no more. Using some non-Muslim as an excuse why you ain't being a Muslim. I'm letting you know now, you can't make a Muslim. So quit trying to act like you need them so bad to be a Muslim that you neglect your own home. You're neglecting your own family and those who are under the scheme of Shaitan. To where we're now, we're dealing with homosexuality, lying, teen pregnancy, divorce, single parents, you know, and most of all, your children hate you because you believe. Yeah, man, that's my name, man, but my mama didn't name me Hassan, you know. my mama named me Muhammad. Hate to tell the people that. And we're doing it all to ourselves because Allah has already told us, bottom line, regardless of what people have done to you, you've done something to make them follow a Shaitan, invite them to, and that was to disrespect you or jump on you or enslave you or whatever. Because they've seen you weren't going to defend yourself with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We got to get our children. This stuff is no joke, you know. And that is the number one concern of anyone who believes in one God and Muhammad the Messenger, that we have to do like Allah showed us. He told Moses and them to leave. He told Noah to leave. He told Sodom and Gomorrah, Luke to leave. But he's telling us, y'all have to leave this interaction with this country. Because the only true society for all people is out of Islam. You see that this false advertising that America used, the most discriminating country in the world, but yet they make everybody think you come here and be yourself. No, you can come here and be white. But you ain't coming here and be nothing else. He done changed every human being that comes to this country, Japanese, Chinese, Egyptian, African, whatever the Russian. If you come to this country here, especially if you are related to their fallacy of this racism, you ain't gonna be nothing but this man. You gonna be another white man in your own, and know it. He ain't gonna hide these from you no more, because they know we grown now. We ain't no fools no more. We grown. And they say if they don't believe that we're the devil now, after all that what they've been through and learned, then we know we got them. They still asking us will we treat them right. They still begging us to give them some of their money. Money they done paid into the pot of federal equity. You know, we have a right to them tax dollars without any string attached to them. But we haven't learned yet how to be bold enough to tell them that. I'm a Muslim. I'm not interested in getting block grant money to help. I'll use the word of society. Black Americans who hate me. You know, I'm not asking you to give me some money so that I can establish a place of sanctuary for my kids to be at. And then you think just because a person is the same color I am, but hates me because I'm a Muslim, you gonna send them among me? We have to be strong about the reality of what Shaitan has done to the human family, so we can see that Allah is the only solution to it on the real side. Ain't no joking in that. Because again, if you want equality
it's in Al-Islam. We already know that. This is the only true religion where people are obligated, even though they might do it themselves because we're not showing the faith that we should in Allah and his messengers like we should. So those who call themselves Muslims, they'll practice a little racism if you let them. They'll practice a little discrimination if you let them. But if we do like Imam Muhammad said, make the United States government live up to their constitution, if we turn around and start confronting these Muslims publicly, you know, if you follow the Quran, our constitution, if you follow the life of Prophet Muhammad, our Bill of Rights, because we have, it's through Prophet Muhammad and Allah lets us understand what rights we have on each other, what obligations we have to each other, you know, providing hospitals, schools, our own care, so that a woman's in the hospital like I had to do every day when I go up to where your sister's at. And I tell them, I don't want no man in this room except the doctor, and I don't want him doing anything that undresses her when he can send his nurse in here. But I'm not going to interfere with him because that's his profession, but he is not going to do anything if my wife is not modestly covered. That's how bold you got to be. You got to try the best of your ability, at least when you present, you let it be known, like I did. I went straight to the head of the people before my wife got to the hospital. I don't want no men around my wife. You know, so find all female nurses, orderlies, even the woman who's cleaning out her room, make sure it's a female. Now, I know I'm not here 24 hours a day, but if I ever walk up in here, and if there's any male in my wife's room, and he's not the head doctor, her head doctor, and there should be a female for that, too. I say, if y'all don't have any female doctor, I got to kind of understand it. But I do not want him putting his hands on my wife and things like private parts or anywhere on her or seeing her nude or whatever when he can go get the top nurse in the building. And because we had that right, we pay taxes to be a Muslim in America. That's what we paid our taxes for, you know. And we had to demand our rights without looking like we're begging for our own money. You know, when you look at your taxes and your grandmother's taxes and your mother's taxes we've been paying for the last 200 years in America, 100-something years in America, you be saying, man, what are we doing? We got to go through all this. To ask for the money. And then every time we get a lump of money, we got to share it with white people, black people, Chinese, anybody who want to come and get it. While they getting money and you won't even see it, they just spending the money in their neighborhood, fixing up their schools, fixing up their parks, investing in their better stores. So it's all how much we really understand when we use those words. The psychology of the shaitan. Allah already told you what his psychology is. He believes he's better than us. And he'll find human beings on this earth that pump them up to do the same thing with their jinn. That's his connection, the jinn. Our jinn that we have is his connection. If we don't make them Muslim, our jinn is always trying to get us to think that somebody is better than us, and especially the white man. You shouldn't talk back to him. You automatically wonder who that be shaking when we get around white people. That's the jinn in us. He's scared of hell of Satan because that's his relative. He's a jinn who's down the devil. But they ain't lost their connection. They know who Satan is. They want to be like him so bad, but some of them, since they know they were created to worship Allah, they be trying to encourage most of us sometimes to do the right thing. Because they know what Shaitan gonna do with them. Them, he gonna carry them to hell with it. And you too, and us too. We have to teach this kind of stuff to our children. And us men have to make sure until we can get the educational responsibility back into the hands of women who have through the Quran and life of Prophet Muhammad, will make sure that newborn like they're doing now in America, because they're trying to stop it. They're trying to stop us from realizing what our Islamic rights are. You know these people don't want to have no woman just because she has a baby. They're going to give her a four-month leave. She don't have to come back to work until her child is almost 66 months old. They're trying to keep, that's out of Islam. That's all they are, practicing out of Islam, practicing all out of Islam on us, and it makes us uncomfortable. And it makes it seem like they so much understanding about what we are. Oh, yeah, but look, but you got to fight tooth and nail. And they just, what, it's been a couple of years that they've done that? That a woman had gets that type of leave when she has, now they even let the man take off 30 to 40 days when he have a child to be with the family. So they know we're going that way. We're going that way. And he won't be able to make us deviate from establishing family life, community life, and a halal reality, you know, our own stories. And we have a right to do that because we are special. There's three special groups in America, and that's the Jews, Christians, and Muslims. We have a right to establish our community. Medina is an example of that. And anybody else, you know, have their rights also, but they are also obligated to follow the people who are from and recognize one creator. And they accept that because they don't want the obligation. These things we got to teach our children. So just want to, you know, thank Allah first of all for you being tolerant of me talking this long, and everything. And I pray that I have it. But this is real. Like we say every day, every opportunity, chance we get it, especially for the good work that the message was concerned on every night, except Friday. You know, that's what we saying every Friday in that way. You know, unity is community. Our community will benefit everybody in the world. Nobody else will benefit. The Christians can come together overnight and be tight as they want to be. But that's up to Allah rather than if he gives them that authority. And he already made it clear to us there's no reason to give it to them no more. They are rejected, perverted. He said most of them are perverted liars. He said something like that thing in the Quran translation. You know, he says only but a few of them, you know, but a few of them, that's all. And a few ain't going to establish Deen al-Islam. A few people of Christian faith or whatever like that, you know, they're turning to us to help. They might even want to accept al-Islam. That's the only way to help them because they want Allah to forgive them and bless them to be Muslim so that they know they'll be safe for forever until they reach the Jannah. They don't want to be a hypocrite. They don't want to come in and expose themselves and go the line to both worlds. Oh, I'll just be around the Muslims, called blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to learn what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. That ain't true. The light is on, like Imam Muhammad said. But again, on this program and the good work that you're doing, we have to realize that what we're saying to each other, it needs to be said to our children. 2 years and up. You know, and so that our daughters won't grow up and feel like their mothers wasn't close to them, because it seemed like they've been on their own ever since they 5 or 6 years old. You know, and the outside world was that old saying, they used to say, don't let time raise your children, because these are bad times. We don't need the time to be the parents of our children. You know, so I thank Allah for that time that you give me. May Allah's peace and blessings
on everybody. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. We were appreciating your input so much until I didn't really want to stop you. It's so important. So important. If anybody else would like to say anything or input, please push one into the queue. Okay, I think Brother Akbar wants to speak. Your husband. Brother Akbar?
Yeah.
Did you want to speak now or you wanted to wait?
I'm waiting.
You wait a minute?
Yeah.
Oh, he said, He said, wait a minute. Okay, well, if anybody else wants to...
You're trying to drink that coffee, huh?
Okay, we haven't been too long. Got back in here. I mean, you know, we've been on the road and everything, trying to get back home.
Yes,
still resting up, I tell you. You wouldn't believe it.
Well, we thank Allah you're back. Thank Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. That's a blessing. That's right. That's a blessing. Can we see others? Anybody else want to have something to say? Please push one. Be brought into the queue. We'll recognize you too. They have some little stickers here. They have hands now that they put up when they want to speak, and not the question mark by the telephone number. And that's a blessing there. Okay. I look like I'm waiting for someone else. What happened to my glasses? They disappeared too. Okay, here they are. I see Sister Karan looks like if she wants to speak to you. I don't know, sometimes her phone doesn't work to put the question mark in by her name. So you just ask her if there's anything she would like to say. Sharif. Assalamualaikum, Sister Karan. If you don't want to say anything, you don't have to. I just pushed your number just in case you might want to say something. Assalamualaikum. Okay, so she just got it on listen. Don't want to say anything. Okay. They mess with these phones so much, these people mess with our phones, and we don't know whether to. Assalamualaikum, Brother Sharif. If you want to, don't say anything. You don't have to. I just pushed it just in case your this mic was acting up and wouldn't open up for you. Okay. Who is that? Abba, oh, excuse me. Abba, excuse me, I don't have my own, I'm not dressed properly. I have to put my robe on. Hold on a minute. Alaykum as-salam, I was telling Abba I wasn't dressed properly, I had to put my robe on and everything. That's okay.
No,
you have to.
Oh.
Okay, Brother Suja and his daughter just stepped in. So, you know that Brother Suja is here. And I don't know if he wants to say anything or not while he's here. And his daughter is here, too. It looked like the young one, I think. Which daughter is that? The young one? Oh.
I'm the oldest, second oldest female.
Okay. And what's your name?
Mahasan.
Oh, that's Sister Mahasan. Okay. Brother Sujan and his daughter, Sister Mahasan, just stepped in. So I wanted to recognize them. Anyone y'all want to say anything on a Blog Talk Radio show? Yes, the Brother Sujan trying to get these calendars going. Okay. Did y'all bring the calendars too?
Yeah.
Oh, so Brother Sergio is here with the calendars, so the it's on with the selling of the calendars. Well, you put the light on right there, if you can see. Brother Suja is here, so he's got the house calendars. You know, we're doing the selling of the calendars for the fundraiser for the year. Trying to get them started before it's too late. And everybody, oh, it looks good from here. That's pretty good. Okay, does anybody else have anything to say they want to contribute? If not, then I will find something from... We do have the younger sister, Sister Imani Ahmed, who is from Expression of Village Voices, and I usually always read what they have because people do write poems and things like that, which are directed to our children, to our youth, and okay, let me start doing this right. Let me read this. Expressions of Village Voices, until someone else gets ready to say something. Okay, Expressions of Village Voices, A Treasure Hunt by Imani Ahmed. If you look for it, you'll find it, a true guidance from the Most High. Shattered pieces assemble, humble beginnings are pushed to the limit. Broken ties simply start with forgiveness. If you search for it, you will find it. God will simply light the path for you. As long as your intentions match your follow through, so stay focused because indecisiveness will blind you. Trust your process. Patience is our greatest virtue. If you look for it, you'll find it. On your path to the best version of you, dismantle prices from your past that have broken you. Remember the strength you use to build you up, so that you don't give us, well, don't give up. Consistently persisted while you healed those excruciating cuts. Lisa Nichols said, leap afraid. So basically, if you're scared, do it anyway. Ignite your faith, embracing falling on your face. Flowers blossom only where dirt is placed. Ask God to delegate your way so you don't stray. If you search for it, you'll find it. You know the peaceful race to the highest gates where eternity waits, So while we are on this topic of faith, your highest self arrives in degrees with each stride you develop mentally. So take the leap of faith and deny yourself the regret you'll feel, the pressure that would intensify through your veins as you age. High blood pressure may be a result of some decisions that were never made. We got to overcome these obstacles to make it possible. So just know, if you search for it, you will find it. You walk towards Allah and he'll run. Alhamdulillah. This is by Sister Imani Ahmed. And Imani is the founder of the Big Kindle LLC, a women's lifestyle brand dedicated to enhancing one's self-confidence by using positive, poetic, affirmative speech. She is a fashion designer and henna artist who provides an all-inclusive catering experience for special occasions. Imani also serves as a school, Abba, don't forget I'm on my show now, please. Please. Excuse me, audience, I'm trying to pick up where I left off here. It says, Imani also serves as a school nurse. She also invites women from all walks of life to join her on a path to self-discovery, igniting the best version of themselves inwardly and outwardly with purposeful living. About Expressions of Village Voices, message from Nimat Marie. Reading of Peace, absolutely love to showcase your writing talents through your column, Expressions of Village Voices in the Muslim Journal. How blessed we are to have so many talented writers whether it is poetry, knowledgeable advice, or a faith experience that can inspire someone else. All the wonderful talent we have in the community, we have showcased many through this column, and inshallah, we will continue to do so. We are waiting for your masterpiece. That is how we view it. Whether it is 6 lines or 20, we appreciate you sharing the uplifting others and uplifting others. May Allah reward you for touching someone's life. Jazakallah khair. Okay, so that's from Munaima. Okay, let us continue to inspire and uplift each other. Submit your work to showcase 500 words with your short bio and picture to nimatmarie@yahoo.com. Quran 51, Quran Surah 51, Ayah 55, but continue to remind, for certainly reminders benefit the believers. Okay, that was Nimat's portion. Very good. Okay, let's see. Okay, let me see if anyone else has anything else to say. Please push one on your telephone receiver when you be brought into the queue. I don't know if these things are working or not. If anyone has anything to say, I won't call any names, even though I may put you on the mic, I won't call any names. If you have anything to say, just go on and say it. not putting anybody on the spot. Okay. Sister Ron? Let's see, Sister Ron here. Okay, Sister Karan, do you have anything to say? We welcome your input at all times. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. We just want to know if you heard me, if you had anything to say or to contribute, because a lot of times your receiver is not working, your phone is not working. So we wanted to know if anything you had to say.
Alhamdulillah, I was in the other room. No, I'm fine right now. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Thank you then. At least I touched bases with you. All right then. Yes. Okay, let me see what else there was to say. You have something to say since you're here, and you seem to be talking loud and bombing my show here. But you might as well come on in here. You might as well say something.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I know you can. Suja said he can always find something to say. I asked him since he's here. So Sister Karan, look like our the calendars are going to be get started being sold or being, you know, getting contributions from it. Okay, here's Brother Suja, brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Suja. You got it. Akbar. Wait a minute. Let me put you in. Hold on, Brother Suja. Hold on. Let me push Akbar's. Okay. Now you got it, Brother Suja.
Assalamu alaikum. I'd like to say with Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. I testify and bear witness that there's only one creator. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the Prophet, and he's the messenger of Allah. He's God's servant. Alhamdulillah. I know there's many Muslims, is trying to put Prophet Muhammad and Jesus out of our reach. You have some people that you can't be like Prophet Muhammad. You can't be like Jesus. You know, these people was human beings. And they is a mark, for us. So we strive to be like our mouth, and we thank Allah, and we can't thank Him enough for the brave brothers, Christ Jesus and the Prophet Muhammad. Now we talk like this. I might have a Muslim brother come over and say, you can't talk casual like that and call Prophet Muhammad your brother, or call Jesus your brother. they really is trying to mislead us. We've been misled by other people that brought us into their life. We've been misled. They told us that God had a son, and that the Son of God is one of the nationalities. And it's amazing how they give us the nationalities of the one that had us in slavery. So they've been lying to us, and they putting us in dependent situation where we are helpless, and then they tell us that we can't follow Prophet Muhammad, we can't follow Jesus, they bring these peoples where we'll never really get to know them. Because they bring them to us as supermen, They don't bring them to us as God's servants, Because they know that we can be God's servants. We can serve God, So that type of, that idea misleads the children. It confuses really the children. But when you tell a child that you can be like Jesus, or you can be like Prophet Muhammad, oh, that's give them hope. That's like when President Obama became president and ran for president. How do you think that made African-American children feel? That made them feel good, They said that, if an African-American can be a president, and I'm African-American, I can be a black president too. You see? So that's the program. The program that they have is a program where you can't meet it. You can't be like Prophet Muhammad. You can't be like Jesus. I had a brother told me that I can't depend on my understanding, my reading of the Quran. And so you see how they try to pull us out of position and make us a servitude. Really the role that has been established is servant and master. The Caucasian really believe that he's a master, and it's the way he conducts himself, it's the way he acts, and then you can look at it for yourself and see that they are not fair and sharing the wealth of America. You know, they say that we are American citizens, but they had cases where they didn't even want us to eat at the same food counter. You know, so you can see it clear what they're doing. You know, they running that game, and they trying to instill fear into our children. They trying to tell our children to be like them. You know, and that's the only way you're gonna be successful. You know, is that you be like them. You know, so we are here tonight, you know, because to give a message of concern to the American people. And that message of concern is that we as African American peoples, children, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, we can be a president. You know, we can be a servant of God. We can carry a message of God. You know, and we can own some of this land that we could call our own. We can establish businesses. You know, we can have big supermarkets, big theaters, you know, big restaurants, big skating rinks. We can have these big things. I'm telling the young children this. Let them know that there is plenty of hope. Don't give up. Don't get upset. You know, and any little thing happens, you want to destroy America. You know, we don't want to destroy America. You know, we want to come and be one that is a contributor. We want to contribute to the best in this country. And who taught us that? Our leader, Imam Waridi Muhammad, that's who taught us that, you know, that we got to see ourselves as American. And that's so important to let the children know that we all are American. And you want people out of other countries want to be like you, you know. I'm just trying to pass on to our young children and motivate them and let them know that they got unlimited blessing that has been offered to them. You know, and then God said that we was going to inherit this earth. So it's talking about you all. They're talking about the young folks. You know, we were going to be inheritors of the earth. And God said we're going to have power in this land. So we got to just come together, establish businesses. What we do, we organize and support the businesses. And when these young people get wealthy, they help establish schools, water plants, electric plants. They have established all these different things that we need to function with. You know, senior citizen houses, you know, because they're going to be wealthy enough. You know, if you got enough African-American, young African-American as billionaires, brothers and sisters, unlimited to what we can do. So we thank Sister Dyer, and we know this is Sister Knight, for giving us the opportunity to say a few words. I just stopped by here with my daughter, Mahasan, and we came by to drop a package to Brother Akbar, and praise be Allah. I'll be here until Wednesday. I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia, and we really enjoying ourselves. And we pray that you all enjoyed the past Thanksgiving that just passed, and we came here in peace, and we're gonna leave in peace, As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Suja.
Yes.
And thanks for those enlightening words and that you've just given us. And so we do acknowledge the youth. And like we've, I won't say had our turn, because we're always available to assist them if they ask us. Because the baton was passed to us when we were that age and in that time. So now the baton is being passed to them, but only if they ask for our help will they give it. We won't volunteer because we've served, but and we're still serving, but not trying to take over their term. And we want to acknowledge that. And we'll all be respected and respecting each other's duty toward Allah and our obligation toward Allah and the youth coming up under the youth that are already here and at hand and busy. We have to pay some tribute to them because of the Buy Black. We Buy Black and all those young business people down here, they are really glowing. They are doing it. And I just ask them every time I see one of them, We Buy Black and all the other youth, like the ones they got in the Muslim Journal now, and they're getting together. I ask them, when are y'all going to start selling stock? You know, start selling stock. Can I get a share? Can I get a share in your stock? You know, how much do I have to pay? Because I won't be able to be in that number. So, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, they're doing good. So the brothers were saying he was trying to figure out how they're going to do it. And once they get it together and get it started, they're going to start selling shares. And I would be one of the first ones to know. So every time he sees me, he and his wife, he said, We haven't forgotten you. I said, thank you very much. Don't forget me, please. Okay, they're doing great. Okay, it's almost time for our Blog Talk Radio show to end for today. And I hope you've gotten something out of what's being said and shared amongst us. And we pray Allah to increase our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of our true religion of Islam. And we were supposed to found things and pass it on to those who we can twist their arm. But the only thing we can do is to put it out there and give it to them by doing dawah and a few kind words and trying to help share some knowledge that we have gained to help us on our way, because we too were one time lost and didn't really know, a lot of us were, and didn't really know which way to turn. But Allah blessed us with a wonderful leader, two of them really, Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, and his son, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and may Allah be pleased with him and place him in the position close to the Prophet, with the Prophet, inshallah, wa salli wa salam. Okay, well, we want to end this. We don't want to go over. We just got off the road not too long ourselves, and we're still trying to recuperate. But we couldn't pass this up. And we thank Brother Amin for giving us, thank Allah for blessing Brother Amin for giving us and sharing this opportunity to share with you. So please come back tomorrow night. We pray Allah to bless you with safety, you and your families. And we're going to keep working together, keep loving each other, keep sharing and doing the right things and pleasing Allah. So, Brother Akbar, you want to close with prayer, please? You'd like to close?
Humilisitamrajim. Surely I turn myself to thee, O Allah, trying to be upright to you who originate the heaven and the earth. Though I'm not among the polytheists, surely my life and death is all for Allah, the Lord of all the world. This is what I am commanded. I mean.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Please tune in tomorrow night, same time, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. It'll be the brothers' night. Assalamu alaikum.